Podcast.
Pertinent podcast, alliteration.
Pertinent podcast. And actually, the podcast will start now.
Awesome.
Just start recording that one. So if you do miss this show, yeah, listeners, if you miss this show or any of our other shows, want to catch up, you may visit thesandspur.org, click media, and then podcasts to get to our show.
We got many. Available. Not all of them are continuous, but
they
are many.
They may not be, but they are many.
That's all that counts.
We are seven, as Wordsworth might have said.
Hey-o.
So, but we have a few more podcasts up than that. So, who wants to talk about the government?
I guess I will. I'll jump into that.
Okay.
So, the government is no longer shut down, which is great. Kind of this was very much like pretty much hours until, you know, roughly 5-6 hours until the shutdown was actually about to occur. They
fiscal cliff.
The fiscal cliff, thank you.
Yes.
A fiscal cliff was going to happen, but a deal was struck up, which kind of postponed the issue until, like, January, February.
As it has every time
it's
come up.
As it pretty much has every other time. But
yeah,
it is looking like this has really hurt the Republicans nationally through the polls. This whole debacle, it's seen especially at Senator Ted Cruz, who kind of was the catalyst to this. If you don't remember, Ted Cruz wanted to implement an ending of Obamacare to some extent, and wanted to curtail it. Obviously, Democrats said that this was going to happen whether the government funded itself or not, and in effect, the government shut down because of this. After 2-3 weeks or so, finally things were resolved, but it's looking like, and many news outlets are reporting, that the Republican Party will face quite great difficulties to the point where polling suggests that the House Democrats can take over the House in the next election. So it'll be very interesting to see.
I might have said fiscal cliff. Is it fiscal cliff or debt crisis or debt ceiling? Because I think there's a difference.
Technically it's the debt ceiling, because like a fiscal cliff it's like a different issue, but it's like
they're related.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an economist, so. But yes, more accurately, you would say it's the debt crisis. But still, it's an issue that, while it's being it's been resolved, it's only in the temporary. I mean, we may very well see the same exact issue happen in, you know, a few months. So, only time will tell.
Right, because it wasn't expanded to the point that it'll come up next election or next term.
It'll come up within the next, you know, few months. It'll, you know, so it's, yeah, it is an issue, and I think it's a big issue because, you know, unfortunately, it shows that it'll probably have to take a unified Congress and a Democratic, you know, president, so an all Democratic, I guess, legislative body to get something like this fixed, which is very routine and procedural and something we've done for over 200 years, and yet this is the first time it's been used as political capital, and what Warren Buffett has described as pretty much a nuclear weapon, and it should never be used. I thought that was a really amazing quote from him, is that he described using the budget as a nuclear weapon, and to use such a thing to hold the American hostage was unforgivable. So.
Mm-hmm. And part of what you had mentioned in the GOP possibly losing control of the House, there's a lot of talk of, especially in the wake of Obama's most recent his re-election, was that they really need to be relating more to larger population groups in the country. And there is a significant amount of Americans who need health care and who would potentially benefit from Obamacare or universal health care, as it were. Do you expect them to in any way appeal to those people?
Short answer is no. Because it'll only I say no so rapidly is if you look at the trend. They've alienated Hispanic voters through Senate Bill 1070 and similar bills when it comes to immigration.
Don't remind me what that bill is.
Senate Bill 1070 was from Arizona, show me your papers, so they were able to stop people and ask them, pretty much, you look like an illegal immigrant, I need to see your papers.
Racial profiling, yay.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. And they're still finicky on the DREAM Act, so seeing that pass may help them bump with their Hispanic voters.
And the DREAM Act, that is a path to citizenship.
Is a path to citizenship for children who were
born here,
or okay. You know, or those who are illegal.
What happened to Jess Soli?
What?
Being born American soil?
Yeah.
Jess Soli, Amir. Jess Soli.
I'm so sorry. But also, not only Hispanics, women's rights have been an issue for years, especially with, I believe, Todd Akin. I think that was his name.
Yes.
Who made those legitimate rape remarks and whatnot. So they've systematically isolated many groups over the last few years. And it's not even the core Republicans. It's not even moderate Republicans. It is the Tea Party Republicans that took over in 2010 that really have made it very difficult for the Republican Party, because it's these 30 to 40 Republicans that are really, they know that they're the reason why there's a Republican majority in the House, and they've been kind of calling the shots. And the Republicans have thought, okay, well, maybe we do need to become a little more edgy. Maybe that's what's been stopping us. Unfortunately, if they had learned the lesson of having Sarah Palin on the ticket, that isn't what people are looking for. Maybe the more extreme Republicans are for it. That might get them to win primaries back in the day. But what we're seeing now, especially in 2013, is American people are really sick of it. They don't like it. They don't like the stereotype of the Tea Party. And the only people who like the Tea Party are more zealotous Republicans. And even the GOP is right now in this state of kind of crazy chaos, because they are losing their image. They don't know. When you go up to somebody and you ask them, are you a Republican, or they say that they're a Republican, now you have multiple images in your mind, because you have your Reagan Republicans, now you have your Todd Akin Republicans, you have your Tea Partiers, and then you just have those like Newt Gingrich. So you have this large spectrum, and when you come to the polling place, you don't know what type of Republican you're voting for. And I think that's going to be the issue coming in 2014 and then 2016.
Mm-hmm. And so let's go back to a little bit to the government startup. So you're the government startup, you know? You're coming to me as a small business. You're trying to get off the ground. What do you bring to your consumers?
Well, originally that we would bring to the consumers a level of consistency, reliability, you know, being able to pay our debts in time. This will be the first time that if we go to lenders, they will look at the government startup, the American government, and start to raise an eyebrow. Oh, I heard from your landlord that you have been a little finicky over the last few months on your payment. It's almost has been like you are not wanting to pay your debts that you rightly owe. And our response will be, wives or our aunts or I don't know, or our uncles, whatever you would want to equate the Republican Party to. It'd be like a marriage of sorts, and it's as if like the other in the marriage doesn't want to pay, so they have decided to bunker themselves up in the closet with the children and refuse to unless you buy them a Maserati, which you obviously can't afford a Maserati. I don't know.
That is an awful metaphor.
But it's pretty much saying that like when next time we try to go to other countries, it'll be more difficult. And thank God we did pay it in time, and we averted a major crisis. But next time, now our credit and full faith isn't looking so hot. It's not looking as reliable.
Mm-hmm. Is it this is a more complex budgeting issue than I'm going to make it sound, but can the government cut corners and say, let's shut down the baby panda cam? You know,
right?
Let's.
We could, and the issue is that if we want to make those changes, we totally can make those changes. But the issue with this debate is the budget was already approved. Like, we've already spent the money.
That's right.
So you can't not unspend the money.
You can't just not pay for it.
Exactly. The departments because, have already right. been given their money. So if we want to make those changes, for sure.
Because,
we can totally make these changes.
Right. But as far as the debt ceiling, the debt limits go right now, it's money that's already been spent.
Like, there's it's nothing
not,
you can do.
Right. It's...
Exactly.
You can... change future monies, but at this point,
it's already been spent. Like, if right. you want to talk about it, you talk about the net at the next fiscal quarter, like when we're like actually deciding the budget.
Right.
Totally. Then we can shut down the panda cam. But no.
And what's interesting is some state governments stepped up and wanted to fund their national parks when they were closed. I don't remember exactly which, but that was a news story where. States who were getting still the demand of people trying to visit the parks, they wanted to reopen them because those are important American institutions.
Exactly.
You know, those are things that people gravitate towards, should be able to experience, and perhaps if states took them on, the federal government could focus more on its own operations than... perhaps willy-nilly spending money. What's that?
I said redwoods.
Redwoods. Good contribution.
I know. I'm sorry.
What,
this is not my area of expertise.
Well, so. What'd you learn about Obamacare? Are you comfortable with that, article that did that publish?
No, I did not. I'm still working on it.
Okay, there we go.
But, I mean, basically, what's making it so difficult is obviously, it depends on your financial situation, and I'm sort of focusing on, like, what it means for college students, so
mm-hmm.
I've been researching, you know, the healthcare plan that Rollins has, and, but I can talk to you more about it next week.
Okay. We will certainly have our special on Obamacare coming up, perhaps
Yay.
Next week, and so you can turn to us on how... the younger set are affected by this legislation that is getting heated. Heated legislation.
Heated. Hot stuff.
Speaking of legislation that Kate can speak to us about, of course we avoided the fiscal cliff right now. Good thing the government wasn't texting and driving and, you know, missed that turn and flew off the fiscal cliff. There's my segue.
There we go. Right, so Florida finally passed a no texting while driving rule. However, I don't think it's really going to have any much of an impact because, first of all, it's a secondary offense, which means you have to be pulled over for not wearing your seatbelt or going too fast before they can pull you over for texting. And then at that, they have to prove that you were texting. And also, you're allowed to text while... at stoplights and while stopped in traffic. So I just don't really think they were like, you know, I don't think they were, what's it called? Tough enough on this. And, because I definitely text and drive, which is so bad. And, I was like $30 fine. Oh, it's okay. I'll just, you know, text at stoplights. But other than that, I don't think it's going to make that big of an impact.
But what is the danger?
The danger of texting while driving?
What? Give me some facts.
Some facts.
Give me some statistics.
I will give you some statistics, blah, 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 stats. Well, driving, like, the 5 seconds you look away at your phone while driving 55 miles per hour is like driving the length of a football field completely blind, which is not good and actually terrifying. And a person that's texting while driving is 6 times more likely to get into an auto accident than a drunk driver. So you're actually better off, like, driving down Holt Avenue hammered than you are texting. Not that I recommend either, but,
Right.
Just.
And so, I think part of what your article mentioned, actually I know, is just the sheer amount of accidents that are related to phone usage.
Right.
Where that statistic comes from.
Yeah.
And so, stay tuned to our next issue of the Sandspur for that full article. And it certainly seems Amir off the record, texting and driving.
I only have a learner's permit, so the few times I do drive, no, actually, I don't text at all.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you have your license?
I've never really needed it. I live only 30 minutes away. I live in Oviedo, so usually my parents will come and pick me up for the weekend. And if not, I'm just I'm at Raleigh Collie, just living that life.
Yeah.
So, but the few times I do, I'm actually a very conscientious driver because I just like I don't answer my phone or I kind of just leave it off to the side and I wait until afterwards and then I'll deal with my phone calls. You know, the ever hundreds of texts and calls that I get because I'm such a busy and important person. You can't see the monocle dangling from the side of my head, but.
It's very, gold. Very it has busy. A nice chain to it.
Yes.
I was admiring it.
Yes.
Goes well with the sweater vest.
Yes. So I'm so classy, folks.
So sophisticated.
All right. I'd say let's cue up a music break. What do you say, Amir?
I'm down with the music break. Do you want to take the music, or should I take the music?
You take the music. And we're back on WPRK Winter Park, Florida. You're listening to the Sandspur Hour until 10 a.m. in the morning, Eastern Standard Time, Eastern Daylight Time. When's that daylight savings happening? This weekend?
Soon. I know it's soon.
It's kind of already started to shift.
Feel it in my bones.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
My aching bones. But yeah, no, yes. It'll be real soon. The days are starting to get...
Dark early.
Lights starting to go away.
Yeah.
Equinoxes are changing.
Those equini are shifting in the skies. I don't know if that's a shift.
Is that how it works? Okay.
Something like that.
The Earth rotates. You know.
Oh, yeah, the Sun Earth.
The song you just listened to is UB40's Can't Help Falling in Love.
With who?
With you.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah. So now you know. Got your UB40 fix of the day.
So what's going on at the Rollins in the near future? The Rollins.
The Raleigh Collie. There's actually a lot going on.
We've got Halloween Howl.
Yes, this coming Saturday. From 2 to 5, there'll be a lot of things going on there. There will be tables for bunches of organizations, candy and whatnot, activities for the youngsters.
Yeah, and the age group for that is probably, you know, from like infant to about what? Maybe 8 or 9.
Something like that.
All the little children, their costumes. It's really cute.
But then also, there are going to be some haunted houses, I hear.
Yes.
I know Pinehurst Cottage has one.
Yes, and this year, Delta Zeta has their newest house, and we will be partnering with X Club and putting together a sort of joint haunted house. So I'm excited about that.
Very cool, very cool. We're teaming up with the Archaeology Club, and we're going to do, like, a mummy.
There's an Archaeology Club?
Yeah. Oh. New one, the Archaeology People Department, or Anthropology, I guess, with Archaeology.
The People Department.
The People Department.
HR.
HR.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, I'm really excited about it, and Halloween Howl is always fun, because it's, like, you know, it's... You kind of come in and, like, the whole Olive Mills lawn and, like, that general area has been, like, Halloweenified for a little bit. So that'll definitely be young for the youngsters, even some teenagers. They enjoy haunted houses.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be nice. It'll be fun.
Sounds both fun and nice. Who's to judge? Yeah, you might even see the Sandspur out there, maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe.
Very cool. Are they going to be maybe passing out the week's issue?
Maybe.
I wanted to make boats and race them in, like, a little pool.
Right.
With old issues, but I don't know if that... I don't even know how to make a newspaper boat, so... YouTube.
Or you could have the children make newspaper boats and then see if they're going to sink or swim.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then they could have to make it.
We could team with the Rollins Buoyancy Club.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say the physics department, but the buoyancy concept okay. works. That works.
Yeah, that one's okay, too. Okay, hit that traffic music. All right, thank you, Amir, with the traffic music.
You're very welcome.
Teletraffic is reporting I-4 east and westbound as delay-free. The toll roads are also delay-free. However, in Orange County by Disney, Buena Vista Drive, west of Hotel Plaza Boulevard, there is road blockage due to an accident. Consider State Road 435 and 5, excuse me, State Road 535 and 536 as an alternate. And there is another accident, Goldenrod Road, south of Pershing Avenue at Sun Vista Way. There is a multi-vehicle crash, and consider Cimarron Boulevard as an alternate. And in Seminole County, in Oviedo, still road blockage at westbound Mitchell Hammock Road at Oviedo Boulevard. Consider Broadway Street as your alternate. And, you know, it's still coming up on the calendar.
What's still coming up?
About a week or so. It's October 31st.
Oh, gosh. Halloween.
Halloween. Something like that.
All Souls Day. Or the day.
I think that's the next
prequel.
Day.
It's the prequel to All Souls Day.
Yeah. And what's the other one?
Day of the Dead.
Thank you. That is what I was thinking of.
Nice.
Are you so surprised that I had the right answer?
No reason.
Goodness.
That's just a mind meld. Of sorts. But yes, of course. The
Day of the Muertos.
Yes, Dia de
los Muertos.
Los Muertos. Yes.
Dia de los.
Yes.
Spanish 101, son.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's been a while.
And it might even fall on a miércoles. What day is that?
That's Wednesday. Close.
Yeah, it's not going to be Wednesday.
Which is Thursday.
Right.
Is it Thursday?
I just wanted to say Muertes and Miércoles.
No, it's on a Viernes.
Really?
Ooh.
Oh, wait, no, it's not. It's Halloween.
Halloween
is the same as Day of the Dead.
It is?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And then All Souls Day is November 1st.
Uno. It is.
And Mischief Night is the night before.
Uno de Novembre.
Yeah.
You kids participate in Mischief Night.
Probably.
Mischief Night.
The night before Halloween.
Yeah.
Where, like, kids,
what is that?
Like,
teepee houses.
They go
Doesn't
into,
that
like,
happen on Halloween?
No, yes, but like Mischief Night is for like those cool, like, you know, young rapscallions who go out to the neighborhood and like they egg cars the night before and then, like,
the Halloween hipsters who need to
mischief.
They celebrated Halloween before it was widely celebrated.
Yeah, they
Why
were, they
on
were
October
the first,
30th?
They were the first hipsters, I believe, modern day hipsters, where it's like Mischief Night. Yeah.
Have you ever TP'd a house successfully?
No, I've never successfully. I've TP'd a tree before. That was fun.
Well, that's...
But never a full house.
Never a full house?
Takes a lot more toilet paper than you expect.
It's not.
Right.
I wasn't so mad about... I was not upset about the house, but I felt bad about the trees I was killing. But it had to be done. The house had to be TP'd.
It had to be.
I had a gun held to my head.
You had no choice. TP this house.
Or I will shoot you. So I was like, okay.
I would love to fork a house.
Fork?
With those, get a whole bunch of plastic forks and you just stick them into the lawn.
Mm.
So that when they wake up, it's like, oh my God, my house just got forked.
Mm-hmm. Or a donutted. I've heard of that.
What's that?
Just pour donuts everywhere.
Pork.
You could get them in the, like, the Krispy Kreme trash or whatever after they close. And just put those on the lawn.
That's crazy.
Probably not the best thing to have to clean up.
No.
That would be awful.
A little messy.
Lots of ants, I feel like.
Ah, yes. Pretty antsy. That's what that would make me.
I've actually never had a Krispy Kreme donut. Everyone always looks at me weird.
They're delicious.
They look...
It's like...
It's someone who's given them up.
I feel like I would immediately regret that.
No,
decision.
The thing is, you need to go and you need to get a warm Krispy Kreme donut, like when they just get off the conveyor belt, and then you're just like, oh my God, this is bliss.
I don't know how I feel about eating things that come off a conveyor belt, so,
Good point.
Do they make vegan Krispy Kreme donuts?
I haven't looked into it. Mm. You see, that's the part of veganism or vegetarianism that's like the shady underworld where, you know, like, you would say, oh, that person doesn't eat meat or milk or stuff. Why, they must be as healthy as a tree, you know? But name these things that a vegetarian can't eat. Potato chips, french fries, just stop me whenever. Ice cream.
A vegetarian can't eat french fries?
Oh, no. I'm saying these are all things that a vegetarian can eat.
Oh, okay. So you can eat. Sorry.
Cookies, you know, you could eat, like, trash and
pasta.
Be a nominal vegetarian by name. So, you know, there's, like, there's still a difference between eating well and, you know, not eating meat.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
People just like to correlate. Oh, they care about their health because they're not eating the meat, you know?
I feel very bad for vegans because you guys don't have milk or eggs.
I hate eggs.
But the thing is, it's like there's something like in there, like kind of like singular components. Okay, like yeah, somebody doesn't want to have milk, they can drink water, fine. Nobody wants to make an omelet. Okay, but those products are in most all types of food, pancakes.
But Greg can
make a vegan pancake.
Greg doesn't go to the grocery store. He forages in the woods.
Yeah,
like, I feel like he eats just twigs, berries, and leaves.
And you better believe I ford that river every time.
Do you eat bark for fiber?
Yeah, barking up a tree. That's what I always do.
If you tenderize it, it tastes kind of like dirt. It's really great.
I'll twist that like one degree and say bamboo. Bamboo shoots are delicious.
I saw you looking at those at Dr. Russell's house, so...
very, very hungrily.
If this dinner doesn't work out, definitely got some bamboo shoots I can nom on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why shoot those bamboo shoots straight into my bloodstream? That's what I always say. I don't always say that.
Yeah, you do.
you do on Mondays at the Sands Per Hour.
Mondays at the Sands Per Hour. All right. Any other insulting questions about a diet that many hold in this fair world?
I wasn't insulting.
No.
I was the one who was insulting and somewhat passive aggressive.
I kind of jumped right in. I'm sorry I said you forage. I'm sure it's, you know.
No,
I'm sorry.
I'm good with the foraging. It's the rummaging that's... That's for the raccoons.
Right. Well,
I respect your life choice.
At least they wash their hands.
And why we still have more food on the brain. Why, it's our next part in the Halloween series on Halloween candy. Why, we've talked about pumpkin flavors goods.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, things with the autumn array of spices.
Well, let's talk about the Jones Soda Company and their, you know, annual Halloween flavors. Do you have that list, Greg?
That's right. I can pull that list right up. So, you know, we talked about all these unusual products that are becoming pumpkinized. Pumpkin Oreos. Pumpkinized. I think that got the thumbs down from the crew.
I think so.
Right, crew?
They have a... candy corn flavored Oreos now too, which does not sound
really.
No.
I would want to try them first.
I don't know if it's a chocolate cookie. I think it's like a vanilla cookie, but then it's not an Oreo. It's just sadness. So I don't know.
So we're gonna have a similar adventure, where I'm gonna read off some flavors, and you're gonna give it a hearty Halloween hooray. Or a
Halloween howl.
Right. I was trying to switch that up, but that's good too. Or a nay. Can't think of how to alliterate that. You
or
think
a
of it.
Bootascular boo.
Yes. Hooray or boo it is.
Oh.
So this Jones Soda Company likes to release different holiday flavors. They have a somewhat infamous Thanksgiving set that features mashed potato flavored soda. They have a Hanukkah set that has a potato latke flavor.
Why do you need to drink your latke?
I don't know, but Mike's over here, bud.
Sorry, why do you have to drink your latke?
You're looking directly into the
mic. He was looking at the microphone, not speaking into it.
How do our viewers look today?
Hi, guys.
Do they look good?
They look wonderful.
I'm sure they do.
They're beautiful, as always.
Okay, so I'm just pulling up... this Halloween's edition, this is a series that they do annually where they switch up some of the Halloween flavors And I'm coming up with some of the older ones. Some of the ones they've done in the past are Gruesome Grape.
I could do Gruesome Grape. It's like grape soda. Why
grape
not?
Soda.
Down
grape
with that.
Soda.
I'm down with the grape soda.
Easy. Candy corn.
I feel like that'd be too sweet. I feel like I'd be drinking sugar water.
Right.
But what is soda?
Sugar soda. It's sugar no.
Right. But perhaps too much of the it just has a sugar taste.
Yeah.
You're basically
sugar
just
on sugar on
eating
sugar.
Corn syrup. It's candy corn.
And it's like it's honey. It's supposed to be like a honey to like candy corn's supposed to be honey and sugar, but it's like no, I don't taste any honey, I taste just sugar.
Next on this year's Jones Soda list, blood orange.
Orange? I think that'd be nice. Orange soda, mm-hmm. again.
Yeah, I'm down with blood orange.
Why? There's, I think, even a sparkling water version of blood orange.
I think it's called Pellegrino sparkling water in my fancy days. Drinking
yes.
it right out of the can.
Fancy days. So, drinking right out of the can.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
How's that for fancy?
With my pinky up.
Oh, okay.
Did you not see her tiara? Gosh.
Right.
Complete with my sweatpants.
Fancy
really,
day. Yes.
Really good today.
Sweatpants and tiaras. Then we have red licorice.
No.
Maybe. I do like red licorice, so I would like to at least try it. I'd probably give it a thumbs up. I don't know.
I'm sure that I could imagine drinking a Twizzler.
Right?
Maybe like a very small portion. I don't know if I could drink a whole can.
Or at least you could drink it out of a Twizzler. Because Twizzlers...
With a little straw. That, okay, I'll
with
do
With a
it.
Twizzler straw?
Yes.
Okay. See?
All right, you sold me on it.
Yeah, I could even imagine drinking like a Swedish fish soda.
Oh, I know? Would do that. Swedish fish are my thing.
Yeah. And then they're fourth in this year's series, caramel apple.
I enjoy sour apple.
And they do have a green apple flavor that's pretty good.
So I think that I'd try it. Depends. Because like, it could be like a nice, like a mocha-y, like, or a hazelnutty type of taste to it. Like an apple hazelnut type of thing. So yeah, I could go for that.
I would think that they would go sweet on it, though.
Yeah, I think it'd be an apple caramel thing.
Yeah.
Just a hunch. But I don't think I would be down with that.
Some of their past flavors, it seems like candy corn is one of their staples that they never change. But in the past, they've done Spook Kiwi.
But yeah,
kiwi?
I'm down with kiwi.
Yeah.
Dried or buried pomegranate.
Mm. I love pomegranates.
Yes.
They're the most seasonal fruit.
What season?
Christmas.
Hmm.
I don't know why. My mom always buys pomegranates at Christmas time, and she's like, they're seasonal. And everyone's just like... Okay. Christmas Eve, let's slice open them pomegranates.
Well, and Palm Wonderful is just wonderful. I mean, I enjoy it.
I think it's so sweet it makes my teeth hurt.
Yeah, I don't like it. I do like the bottle. I did buy it once just because I thought the bottle was cute, and then I never bought it again because I don't like the taste.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a...
So I'm totally down for pomegranate juice.
Okay. Oh. Lemon Drop Dead.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's
probably
like,
it tastes like
a
Sprite.
Lemon. Yeah.
Buried Alive.
Like a berry, another berry drink?
It looks like a blueberry.
Blueberry.
It seems like they shifted the titles and they started making the actual flavors more, like with candy corn and whatnot. So, getting a little bit more creative.
Spider Cider.
Yeah.
That's cute, yeah.
Just on name alone. They'd be drinking this Halloween beverage. Okay. Now we have... Are we done with Halloween for now?
I think we've
have we exhausted,
that
the,
we've exhausted
this...
The cemetery.
Although we never talked about specific candy.
Oh, whoopsies. Let's go to it.
I'll start.
Amir, what do you have to report?
I have two...
What's your one candy jam? Okay, you said two.
I have two. Well, I have my all-time favorite candy, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. That's like, I eat those, like that's my favorite type of candy in general. But my favorite seasonal candy, which I only eat during Halloween, would be candy corn. That's my favorite seasonal candy.
Okay. Kate.
my all-time favorite candy is Twix. Those are just, like, I just love Twix so much. I could probably be, like, you could get me to do anything if you gave me a Twix. Seasonal candy, I guess I'd have to say... I'm going to say caramel apples are a candy. Because they have
fine.
A candy shell, mm-hmm. and I really only eat caramel apples at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But you, Greg?
What about me? There's this one specific type of Twizzler. You know those, like, thick ones that come in the little tiny packages?
And then you can peel it?
Yeah. It's just, like, two pieces.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, those are my Halloween jam. Whenever I would go trick-or-treating, there was somehow always one and exactly one that I would get from some random house. And it was just, that was my Halloween coinkydink, you know, treat right. that I liked.
What was now, the worst thing you've ever gotten from a house?
Worst thing. It's always bad when they start giving you loose cookies when they run out of stuff.
Oh.
So just like putting Oreos in your bag.
Oh my gosh.
Has that ever happened?
No, but I think I think my biggest disappointment was raisins.
Ooh.
They gave me a little box of raisins.
I've gotten those before.
It's awful, yeah.
I'm trying to think of the worst thing I got. I mean...
Popcorn balls?
Stale
no.
candy. Ooh. Like, stale, like, legit stale candy, like...
From last year.
Exactly. Or, like, candy that, like, obviously had been hanging around for, like, quite a long time. You know, they just decided to shovel it onto the kids. And it's just like, this is disgusting.
Right.
Thank you for ruining my Halloween. Because this was the first piece of candy I picked up. And now the whole box is ruined.
I'd say next week for Halloween teaser, costumes.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yes. I've had many a costume.
Your favorite childhood costumes.
Yes.
Interesting.
Maybe one in which you also look back on with some, maybe not regret, but some, some how did that happen?
Oh, that definitely happened to me, so.
All right, so we'll save that one. And what other news do we got brewing? Brewing some news over here.
Well, I've got it in my pot back here. I've been stirring it.
Oh, okay.
It's not quite ready yet. We could talk about some tricks every iPhone user should know, or you going to reject that?
What are we, the Huffington Radio Show over here?
Maybe the BuzzFeed, Greg, but I don't know.
Maybe so the BuzzFeed.
Take that as a no.
All right. Here's something we had that you, had on our, communal dock. Plus-size next top model.
Oh, right,
Caitlin, take it away. You don't know?
I don't remember. It's been too long.
When was that? So that was a finale that was in the past.
Yes, it's pretty passé.
Passé.
Yeah. Well, it's dated.
Dated?
Yes. So incredulous. Basically, America's Next Top Model had a plus-size show, and the qualifications to be a plus-size model are actually pretty alarming. I delved into modeling this summer, and they suggested that I go into plus-size modeling. And I'm 5'8 and 140 pounds, so not plus-sized.
Doesn't seem so.
No, I would not say so. Unless I have clearly body dysmorphic disorder and I'm obese and I just don't know. But yeah, we can talk about that more next week if I can gather some tidbits about it.
But this is still interesting information that you have right in that brain of yours right now.
It is.
Because what was your response when that was bandied about,
that
suggestion?
That I was completely floored and was like, I'm not gonna, you know, risk putting myself in poor health just to do something like this. So I walked out of the studio
mm-hmm.
and refused to keep shooting.
And so does this, you know, sort of tied with the show that we had mentioned, America's Next Top Model. Does that mean that despite sort of an outward display of acceptance for different body types, it's still really not embedded in the culture of modeling?
Not at all.
Yet?
No. Not at all. I mean, you can't be a high fashion model if you're plus size. You can't. Or if you're healthy, for that matter. So I definitely think there is definitely something wrong with that industry, for sure. I don't know. And I think, you know, that just kind of contributes to the severe body image issues we have with women in this country today, and, you know, the amount of eating disorders that go on, and, you know, especially, like, on college campuses where body image is such a huge issue, and on dating sites, people, like, boys will put on their taglines, like, no fatties and things like that, so it's definitely kind of this part of this culture that's very negative.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good report.
Thank you. Thank you for your validation.
Hey, you didn't need my validation. Amir, how about your validation?
Yeah, she doesn't need anybody's validation, so I'm not going to give it to her.
Oh, thank you, Bromir.
You passed the test. So, Amir, your turn.
Okay, well, I'm actually about to jet soon, but...
Oh, okay.
No, it's
Leave
fine.
Us. Yeah, I know.
So this week, I continue with my column, which I'm very excited about. I'm actually going to be talking about an issue that's kind of as personal to me and actually means a lot to me. I'm going to be talking about depression, something that I've actually struggled with for many years. And I felt it was much pertinent this time of year because it's midterms. It's, you know, people are just finishing up with those. They've gone home for fall break and they are starting to missing their families. And it's something that for me, I had struggled with for a long time. And it's one of the best things I ever did was going to CAPS last year. It did a lot for me. It was great for me. So this week's column is going to be kind of talking about that, talking about my experiences as somebody can really only do when talking about this disorder, and just kind of bringing it back to the ever important, if you have any problems, if you need anything, this college has amazing assets for you. So, yeah.
Great. We look forward to that on stands on Thursday. We're now available not only around Rollins campus, Sanspur, but down Park Avenue as well, in a few choice locations. Just pop into a store.
Very cherry locations.
Yes. And you might see our cover. And the rest of the issue.
Have you guys decided on the cover?
Oh, I don't know what the cover will be.
You'll see the cover.
There are some contenders, but I don't think we have decided on that yet. So.
Inside information.
More excitement.
Okay, kids. Well, I'm going to get going. We'll see you all later. At the meeting this afternoon.
Night.
At what time?
Yes, 6 p.m. On the fifth floor of the Mills building is where you can find...
Sign up for articles.
Yes. Find out how you can get involved with the Sanspur staff. And now that Amir's gone, we can talk about sports.
I'm really not a sports...
Not the
sports games.
Not the sportin' type.
No, not really.
So the World Series... will be, you know, between two teams that have been decided.
Ah.
Those teams have won their respective leagues.
And that is...
The conference champions.
Baseball?
That is baseball.
Okay.
Yes. You're doing good so far.
Okay.
So we have the St. Louis Cardinals of Dr. Phil Dever. And,
okay.
In our fair English department. That's his team. Versus the Boston Red Sox over there. From the northeast portion of the United States. So, who's your pick, Kate?
Well, clearly this sport is very near and dear to my heart, Greg. I think because I really do not like birds, but I do like socks, I think I will go with the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, you know what color socks they wear?
White.
Good answer. See, you know more than you thought you did.
Right. Well, you know, because it's ironic, right? They don't actually wear their red socks, but...
Right. And you know what color socks the White Sox typically wear?
Red.
No.
White.
No.
Black.
Black.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, figure that one out.
I don't know if I can. I think that's just one of those mysteries of life.
Probably.
Or there probably is a reason, but...
Near to be solved. But... That World Series is starting up this week. Interesting that the Red Sox dealt so many high-profile, high-priced players to the Los Angeles Dodgers, who were just eliminated in their championship series. The Red Sox really ushering in this youth movement that has brought them from, I don't think they finished even in third last year, and why they won their division and are now in the World Series.
And you're saying that because they traded, I'm assuming that's the word.
Yes.
For new, younger players?
They mostly, it was really just getting rid of the players that they had and not getting much in return. But they had good young players that were waiting in the wings, as you might say, to replace those more high-profile guys that they had signed earlier.
Okay. Interesting.
So they have really been a surprise team this year, and the Red Sox and the Tigers, having played in their championship series, were the last conference to be decided, league championship, the last league to be decided, excuse me, whereas the Cardinals had already won theirs over the Dodgers, meaning that either the Tigers or the Red Sox would have made it a rematch with the Cardinals, with the Red Sox having played them in 2004 and the Tigers having played the Cardinals in two World Series in the last decade. So you're wrapping your head around all this?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. And why we're getting a call from Illinois. What do you have to say for yourself, Kate?
I don't know.
Oh, they hung up.
Oh.
So you don't have to take the mic while I answer that call. So, but here's a topic that's even nearer and or dearer to your heart.
I'm sure.
Tim Tebow.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to give this topic 1 minute because it deserves no more. In our latest issue, we had an article that was why the Jaguars should sign Tim Tebow.
And that is because the Jaguars clearly are not very good at what they do. They've been losing almost every game. I don't remember what network, but a network actually apologized to viewers for showing that game because it was so miserable to watch.
Yes, they did. And that is just given because of the game showing rules, that was a real technical term, where you have to show a team's away games in their home market versus they actually chose not to show a Jaguars home game yesterday, which is up to the station's discretion in favor of showing a Dolphins game, despite the Jaguars claiming Orlando as a home market. So here's why the Jaguars should not sign Tim Tebow.
Okay, because our article is about why they should.
Yes. Here's is that a rebuttal of sorts?
Yes.
It's a rebuttal of sorts. So our fair, intrepid reporter had said that the Jaguars have nothing to lose. They should pick him up, get the fans involved, because, of course, Florida, University of Florida is not too far away from Jacksonville. There is significant interest that would be generated if he were a member of the team. But here's the facts, folks. There's a new coaching staff this year who's trying to implement their own culture, their own strategies, their own game plans. And so to bring on Tim Tebow would be to blow it up and say, hey, we're going to have a freewheeling fancy time and let Tebow run around in the backfield and do his thing. And
you don't think it'd be possible for them to use Tebow with their new game plans?
No.
You think Tebow would just be like, I'm doing cartwheels, and
yep,
that'd be the end of that?
Jump passes and the like.
Right.
Because that's when he had his success with the Broncos, before they traded him away for and got Peyton Manning. They had more running plays than any team would care to run in this day and age of lots of passing. Like, if you watch Peyton Manning, he'll throw over 40 passes a game. There would be games where Tebow would throw 15 passes and run around the rest of the time. Willy-nilly-like.
And was that detrimental?
It was somewhat successful. But for the Jaguars' future, you know, for Tebow to go in and run around, that's short term.
Right.
But the way that the coaches know how to coach, the schemes that they believe in, you need to have, even if, like, let's say Chad Henne is their starting quarterback right now, even if he's not the best, the linemen are blocking for an NFL quarterback who's running an NFL scheme. The receivers are running routes that are meant for an NFL offense. And the team is playing as if it were an NFL team with a professional offense.
Right.
And they're learning, you know, even in having a poor product.
Right.
You know, but if once you commit to happy fun time, learning goes out the window a little bit.
So Tebow is happy fun time, man. I thought he was just, you know, I don't know. I don't really know my image of him. I don't like the Gators, so I just, you know, don't really like him.
But yeah, his offense was all about running around doing silly stuff.
Oh, okay.
So,
tricks for the old spectators.
Yeah, you know, the old hidden ball trick and whatnot. No, that's not it. But those are my two cents. I know that I said that would go on for 1 minute.
No, it was like three. It's okay.
Went on about a minute longer than I wanted to. But tell the folks for a minute how they can submit an article to the Sanspur.
Okay.
For publication.
We look for articles that are between 400 and 700 words, basically just to get your story, whatever it takes to tell the story. You can submit your article via email at submit@thesanspur.org. Articles are due by Fridays at 5 p.m., and you can look to see if your article is published within the next week, or we have a large amount of articles that are also posted online, and you can find those if you like us on Facebook, or if you go to thesanspur.org, or you can also find this podcast.
Right. And if someone had a question to ask the Sanspur, what email address would they send that to?
They would... Staff?
Staff.
They would submit it to the staff.
At
submit@thesanspur.org, correct? Or no?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Okay, but that's it for the Sanspur Hour, you know?
Okay.
It's run its course for today.
It's run its hour.
That's correct. coming up next will be DJ Apple Kobler in just a bit, and she will be spinning some music for you. So we will see you next week, same time, 9 to 10 a.m. here on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. Goodbye.